Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now in studio, we have Impact World Champ Brian Cage with us getting ready for Slammiversary. It's the 17th one, in case you're curious. Sunday, Gillies in Dallas. Mr. Cage, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, we got been a long day ahead of us here on 4th of July. And the 7th Sunday is the big title match, the big pay-per-view, Slammiversary, number 17.
Number 17. How many are you going to reign over as champion? What Slammiversary are we going to get to and you're still carrying this thing?
Maybe 33.
Wow. Okay. I like it. That's a bold strategy. Now, we'll get to your title match with Michael Elgin in just a second, but you're referencing it. You have a pretty robust schedule around the Metroplex, and not just the Metroplex, across the state, leading into Sunday's title match. What all do you got going on these next few days?
Today we'll be spending most of the day at FC Dallas for the soccer game, doing a lot of media out there. We got a lot of stuff planned with them. Then we're off to San Antonio for tomorrow for a show down there, then the Houston for a show up there, then back this way to Dallas for the pay-per-view, for the conclusion of it all.
Now, people can track these adventures on the Impact Facebook page, getting to know Brian Cage, the lead-up to Slammiversary. I was curious, since you mentioned FC Dallas, we have FC Dallas players on the show quite often. Are you a big soccer fan in general? Do you go EPL, MLS? Like, what's your soccer of choice, if anything?
I don't dislike soccer at all, but to be fair, I actually don't follow any sport to any extreme that much anymore. Especially due to my schedule, but I'm planning to have some fun today at the FC Dallas game. So
now, will that fun include sticking around for the post-match fireworks show, because they make a big deal out of that? Are you a firework guy?
Oh, absolutely! Especially since that's the holiday. So I mean, even if it wasn't the holiday, it'd be awesome deal. But because it's 4th of July, that's my first question. Was like, hey, is there fireworks? When is it? What's going on? I know they gave us the invite, so I believe that is the game plan.
Now, are you responsible in that you just like to watch fireworks, or if you had some free time, would you partake in setting off fireworks outside the county lines, of course?
I mean, I don't want to say I'm a pyromaniac, but I mean, lighting some stuff on fire and seeing stuff explode is always a good time.
So. Is that a classic male behavior, or is that?
I think so. I think to the fact that, you know, something's going boom and there's danger behind it makes it a little exciting, and you just... It's hard to refuse not to. So.
Sure. That's something I pass on to my son, which his mom is not the biggest fan in the world of. So he always follows up to make sure we have all of our fingers and all that. So, hey, here we are.
There it is.
So far, so good.
My dad was quite the same way as well. So he taught me how to make some of the PG, you know, super legal fireworks a little more exciting as well back in California. So it's a little secret I passed down to my son, I guess.
Now, that's smart to say, the super legal fireworks. I appreciate that, because we here at The Fan would never advocate any semblance of illegal behavior or anything like that. Now, speaking of California, I was kind of curious, a little bit of the history going into your match Sunday night against Elgin is going a good several years back to PWG. You and him were tag team partners, tag team champions, the Unbreakable Effin' Machines, which is an amazing name, by the way.
You know, too, and I, it actually almost didn't happen. It was a tag tournament, and everybody got thrown together, and we got paired up, and I'd only even like been on a couple shows with him, and that was the game plan, and then it was going to change, and I was like, oh no, man, come on, that was going to be the team. We were going to be like the Unbreakable Effin' Machines. I just kind of said it just on the whim. And then the promoter at PWG thought it was such an awesome name. He's like, oh, well, you guys have the team now. So you know, that was, I'll go ahead and take credit for that. It was my name dropping that. That's what made us, you know, become tag team champions. But yeah, we do have a history together. And then he kind of went down his road and was in Japan. It's been a long time since I've seen him. And I guess my U.S. success was too much for him to handle. He had to come back and try to rain on my parade.
Outside of just like the basic wanting to prove who's better in the midst of the match, I can see some sort of battle of strength breaking out because you two immediately strike me as two of the strongest humans in all of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Elgin's a beast. And you know, too, I don't think it's enough credit for his athletic ability as well. I stand out for some of the stuff I'm able to do in the ring for my size and my stature. But, you know, Elgin is no joke. He's a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal competitor. It's going to be a great matchup. And, yeah, he's probably, if not the strongest, definitely one of the strongest guys I've ever been in the ring with.
Stronger than you?
Yeah, you know, not in everything. Like if we can compare like lifts, you know, at the gym, we've gone back and forth. Like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just put myself over, though I'd like to do so. I mean, he's definitely got some strength where it's very comparable. But at the end of the day, I look better with my shirt off doing it. So, you know.
Sure. Is that the real test of strength? You're like, that's awesome. You lifted that. Check this out. Swimsuit season and all.
Right? Yeah. You know, it's summer, so.
So you talked about some of your journeys in the U.S., and when I first became aware of you was in Lucha Underground. Huge Lucha Underground fan, and sad to see. I'm not really still exactly sure what's happening there.
So
is that seems to be the consensus on people who were involved with Lucha Underground, is they either got out of their contract or they're like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody keeps asking, oh, is it gone? I'm like, I mean, I guess so, because it just kind of just stopped. So.
Yeah. What was the atmosphere like working there leading into getting with Impact? Because it was something that very much had a different vibe than a lot of things that were going at the time.
Oh, for sure, for sure. It was definitely a very unique place. It was a lot of fun to work on, a lot of fun to be a part of. A big, you know, way to differentiate it was like, instead of a wrestling show on TV, I felt like it was a TV show about wrestling.
I could see that.
So it was, you know, it was ran and produced that way too, where it was like a television show, you know, as far like a Walking Dead or whatever, some type of, you know, real TV show. So it was a lot of fun. It was actually season 2, season 3 might have been one of the most fun, you know, times of my career, just because again it was so unique and everyone had such a good time. And then 4 kind of tapered down a little bit, and then yeah, and that's the doors just kind of never came back open. I don't know.
Now, one of the things that they did in Lucha Underground kind of reminds me of something that y'all got going down Slammiversary Sunday at Gilly's, is you got Sami Callihan against Tessa Blanchard, the intergender match. And that was something that Lucha Underground, I thought, really excelled at. And they didn't treat it as like a joke, because I know people are worried about that. It's like, oh, you're going to treat it like a joke. I'm kind of curious, like, what do you think about the Callahan-Blanchard match and then, I guess, intergender wrestling in general?
I'm pretty stoked about the Sami and Tessa match. Tessa's, I mean, she's got to be, like, the best female right now going. And she has plenty of experience in intergender matches. And Sami is just such... so amazing at what he does. And he gets so much heat from the crowd.
He's a psychopath in the ring.
Absolutely. So I think that match is going to get nothing but reaction. Real, honest, real feeling and real reaction. So I'm really stoked to see what they're going to do. And we were just talking about intergender matches too. And I enjoy them. I have no problem with them. They're just, I feel like how they're done, when they're done, and why they're done is more of like what makes or breaks them. Like, it's like I've even been, you know, presented, especially throughout the independents, with intergender matches. And I've never wanted to do them just for the sake of doing them.
Right.
Just for like the shock value. Like, oh, come watch this, you know, gargantuan man throw this woman around for shock value. Like it's got to be somewhat make sense out of it to be able to get more of a draw rather than just the shock value for me. So, and I feel like some people can do them and do them really well. And others, it's harder to kind of get behind it, I guess.
Does the buildup help potentially negate some of the backlash when you're like, this is built up on legitimate competition? Because I assume a lot of people, when they hear intergender, they just think you're just doing that as a bit. And some people who maybe like have been following the last couple weeks, months of Impact, they might think, oh, intergender match, you're just doing it as a bit. And maybe they don't know the story behind it. So like, how important is the story to make sure people don't freak out?
Oh, I think it's a big deal. I think it helps add so much to the match. And then too, it gives it more merit and more, it's just like, if you're watching a movie and you see, you know, the underdog come up and come through and stuff, it gets just gets more meaning behind everything, and you just get that much more invested into it. So again, like, yeah, you could just throw an intergender match out there and you're gonna get the kind of the shock value, like, oh, what's this, you know? But when you have a good compelling story building up to it, leading up to it, and what's going on between them, and it just makes everything that much more meaningful, and there's so much more value to the match and, you know, the overall outcome.
Now, you use the word meaningful, and that always seems to be a word that I would ascribe to any organization that decides, hey, you're the guy and we're gonna run with you. I'm curious if you could describe, you know, what has your experience been like in Impact Wrestling? Because we talked about you've been through PWG, Lucha Underground back in the day, the developmental with WWE. Like, you've been through several spots to get here. So what has this experience with Impact been like? And then what's it like to be the world champ?
Impact's been great. I actually had a couple.
You should probably say that. I mean, it's good.
I had a couple experiences with them earlier on. I had a couple dark matches. I was on the Gut Check Challenge.
When it was TNA? Yeah.
I was there for a Destination X match. So I always had just a great feeling when I was ever back there. Because, too, especially, you know, you're not under contract. But I was younger in age and in my career. And you get there, you're always a little, you know, nervous. And you're unsure. And you don't feel like you belong in the locker room because you're not part of the locker room. And there's always that little bit of, like, walk on eggshells kind of feeling, especially, you know, you mentioned me being in the developmental system when you're there. I was so relieved to, like, the first couple times I was ever part of Impact at the time, TNA, how just relaxed the environment was backstage, you know, with around plenty of top stars, too. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is like, how it should be. And it felt just so much more just relaxed and calming. You weren't, like, so, like, oh, like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I was like, oh, and I feel like it was easier to excel and feel like you belong because no one made you feel out of place. So that was great. And then fast forward, you know, X amount of years later, here I am, part of the team. It's been awesome. I feel like the morale in the locker room has been great. The product and the quality of everything has been great. The people behind the show has been great. It's really, I haven't had much negative to say about it at all. And that's not just because I'm there in my current employer. I think that the product, hands down, has been phenomenal. And then to be able to be on the top of the mountain right now, you said, talk about meaningful too, and to finally, you know, win the big one and be the man, because I've been doing this for almost 14 years now, and I've been through all these different places, and I felt like I've never really been given the ball at all to lead the way. So to finally have that come to fruition, oh, it's awesome. It's been my lifelong dream since I was 10 years old.
How long do you think you've been ready for that? Like, I know everyone thinks they're ready pretty straight away. Radio is no different. But how long can you look back at your career now and say, I think I was ready 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Did it have to happen right now? Like, what is your take on that?
You know, definitely, I'm sure I thought I was ready, you know, sooner than I actually was.
Sure. Aren't we all, right?
Yes, right? I would say it was a few years past due, you know, whether it be from Impact, from Lucha, from whoever. I felt like I was ready, and you know, at moments too, it's hard to not want to kick yourself. Like, come on, man, what the heck? What am I doing? Like, everyone says, hey, you know, you got this attribute, you're basically perfect, but, you know, maybe someone else should, you know, utilize that aspect first. I felt like for a while there, I felt like everybody wanted somebody else to invest in me before they'd invest in me. But then you could never get anybody to invest in you because nobody had invested. So it was kind of like chicken or the egg, you know?
Sure.
You know, just stuck with the grind, knew what happened sooner or later. And time is now. So better late than never.
Right. No, absolutely. Now, speaking of investments, so stay with me here. You guys are doing Slammiversary show Sunday night at Gilly's here in Dallas. Bell time, 7 o'clock. By the way, though, if you guys want to order it, you can get it on over-the-air pay-per-view, Fight TV, if y'all want to order Slammiversary. But having seen some shows in Gilly's, I really dig that atmosphere for a wrestling show. I think you guys should make your way out there. Now, you're in Dallas, which, of course, is a city that has a very heavy imprint from Mark Cuban on it. There's been words swirling, and I don't know what you can or cannot say, but, you know, Mark Cuban owns Access TV. Access TV's had a lot of success with New Japan. There's all kinds of buzz that perhaps Impact might move on down the road to Access. Is this something that you, like, hear about, are interested in? I mean, obviously it affects your future as well.
Oh, absolutely. So I've heard, you know, obviously stuff through the grapevine that a change could be happening or could be underway. And then I heard rumors of that. I just actually saw that announced online the other day too. That like, oh, that's a possibility. I don't.
He's
know.
Up here at the station a lot. We can put a word in if you
like.
Yeah?
Oh yeah, you can drop it in. So I don't know the exact ins and outs or what is or isn't happening or when it is or is happening. But I mean, I guess what everybody else has known is even being the champion of the same company or of this company. I'm not even 100% sure what's happening or not, but. If that's what does happen, absolutely, I'm interested, and that's awesome. I feel like it's a huge step forward. So, and that's his channel has, you know, has helped New Japan grow leaps and bounds.
Sure,
and the U.S. market. So to be able to be on that same channel, I mean, that'd be amazing because a lot of people look at them as number two. So,
and it's an interesting dynamic for you guys because I mean, wrestling fans listening to this right now will surely know that New Japan is in town Saturday.
Right?
I mean, not that you're exactly competing in the same spot, but it'd be foolish to say that there's no crossover competition going on in terms of fandom and everything. Do you look at that show and you're like, hey, our goal on Sunday is to do a better show?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not only just because of, you know, being in Dallas in the same weekend. I mean, you just want to have the best overall product, you know, 24/7. And then when you have a big pay-per-view like, you know, the Sunday Slammiversary, you want it to be like, the best show of the year, you know, so far.
Sure.
Until the next best show of the year, which, you know, would, if after this one, should be Bound for Glory and so on. So you're always competing too, because like wrestling in its entirety too, there's so much of it now and it's so accessible. And I feel like it's opened up to so many more people that it's a constant challenge to compete with everyone because, again, there's so many hours of product from all over the place. You have to try to deliver, you know, something awesome to be able to get everyone's time now because it's not like it's just, you know, WWE, you have New Japan, you have Ring of Honor, you have AEW come up, you have Impact, you have MLW, you have all these indies, you got, you know, everyone's got a streaming device, an on-demand network, or this or that. So, I mean, there's just a plethora of wrestling and material that you can get. So, you got to stand out and steal the show all the time to be able to be like, hey, this is the product you don't want to miss. So, like, obviously, yes, with New Japan being here, they're going to have an awesome show, I'm sure of it. We want to have the better show. And I think there will be plenty of fans, too, usually so into so much wrestling as well. I feel like a lot of fans would be, oh, great, now we get to go to two shows as opposed to one.
Sure.
As opposed to like thinking, oh, it's this or that. And I was like, oh, it's more the merrier. But regardless of New Japan being here or not, yeah, we'd still at the end of the day would want to be like, hey, we're going to have the best show this weekend, this month, this year so far. So.
And that kind of ties into, for Sunday, you know, for the people who are listening who are not necessarily wrestling fans or they only equate, and I'm sure you run into this, they only equate wrestling with like WWE. Yeah. And I'm sure that you run into that. Well, what would you tell people or what would be your sales pitch? Sunday night, Slammiversary, make your way out to Gilly's. Like, go see the show. What would you tell people?
I mean, especially if you only know WWE, which, I mean,
this is very different.
Right, yeah. Oh, you're living under a rock. And yes, they, you know, obviously, they're the tip of the iceberg. Not going to pretend like they're not. And they have excellent talent. They've put on excellent shows and stuff like that. But if that's all you're accustomed to or know of or used to, then you have no idea what you're missing and what else is out there.
Right.
And most people that do, you know, hey, finally open that door and take a step in are like, oh, my God, this has been around here this whole time. I've heard it from plenty of talent that are on the show that they generally feel. And from an unbiased standpoint, I know that's hard to believe. But from even an unbiased standpoint, that they feel like this show will be the best show of the year so far from any company. And I mean, the lineup is top to bottom amazing. And again, if you haven't been into Impact or have never been into Impact, don't know anything outside of WWE, whichever way it is, I mean, our goal absolutely is to steal the show. And with, you know, possible change coming soon and for the better for Impact, I mean, this is a big show to deliver. And I know that everyone on the show is more than capable of doing just that. So, if you're coming down to Gilly's, if you're not in town, you're going to order on pay-per-view. Absolutely not a waste of your time. Absolutely smart choice to make. And I don't see anyone regretting it.
Slammiversary, Sunday night at Gilly's here in Dallas, but also pay-per-view, Fight TV, bell time is at 7 o'clock. And by the way, make your way to the Impact Facebook page if you want to track the adventures of Brian Cage throughout the Metroplex and across the state leading into Sunday's show. Champion, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem, man. Thank you for having me. You keep on saying Metroplex, too, and all I can think about is the Metroplex.
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, some of us listening have a long way to go till we get to any kind of Metroplex, but we'll work on that in the meantime. Thank you so much, good
sir. No problem, man. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.